Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Today at the Roundtable, we're talking about Bloomington, Indiana's 4th Street Festival. It's Labor Day weekend, Saturday, September 4th and September 5th. On Saturday, it's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Sunday, the 5th, it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's located on 4th Street, imagine that, between Indiana Avenue and Grant Street. And I want to encourage everybody listening to go to www.4thstreet.org. And that's letter 4, 4thstreet.org. And today, I'm so excited because joining me at the roundtable today are some 4th Street Festival committee members. We've got Rebecca Lowry, Don Adams, and Chris Bush. And I'm so excited that you're all here today. Yay! So, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, before I get into asking you guys a little bit about yourselves, let's talk a little bit about the festival. Now, I know from the website, because I've explored it, which is a wonderful website, by the way. I just love it. The 4th Street Art Festival actually has a 501c4 nonprofit organization behind it that was founded in 1977 by artists for artists. And the festival is put on by artists, it's organized by local artists, and it hosts, I believe the website said, around 120 artisans from all across the country. That is a huge festival. And I've actually been to the festival back in the day, when, I won't say when, because that would age me, but I am old. When I lived in Bloomington, I've gone to the festival, I know what it's like. So I'm really, really excited to have you guys here tonight to talk about it. And I guess the most important thing to talk about first is kind of that history of the festival. And, you know, I mean, usually on the podcast, I'm talking to an individual, one person. And I always ask about their art journey, like, you know, when did they become inspired or know they were going to be an artist and what kind and all that kind of stuff. And places they've lived can impact their artistry and everything. So with talking about a festival that's been around since 1977, I mean, there's got to be a journey in there somewhere. So each of you, if you don't mind, I want to go around kind of like in a round robin style, and I'll ask each of you to tell me a little bit about when you got involved with the festival, how long you've been involved, what you know about its history and that journey, if anything. I mean, something that old, sometimes you don't know that much about the history, you just get involved. But Don, let's start with you. So tell us what you know about this festival's history and how long you've been involved with it.
I was really involved kind of back in the early 80s for a couple of years. And then my husband and I moved out of the area and we moved back, and I got involved in 2004 again. It's a showcase. Originally, it was a lot more local. So mm-hmm. It was more of a showcase for regional artists. It was in the general area, same area, but the configuration of it was a little bit different. There were more booths on Grant Street. Now mm-hmm. they're all on 4th Street. We didn't go all the way up to Indiana. Artists who started this, and there are some of those artists from the very beginning who are still in Bloomington and still are exhibitors.
Isn't that amazing? I think that's just fabulous.
Yeah, I think Lee is going to be on there, and Jack and Joy were original, weren't they? Are they going to be in the show, Jack and Joy? Yep. Okay, so there are going to be a handful of people who are there in the beginning. And, you know, it's we are a bunch of artists who have a bunch of different ideas. The fact that it's been around this amount of time is like really a miracle.
It is. It really is. And that it expanded to be welcoming artists from all over the country. Yes. And you think about the organization it takes to do something like that. And I appreciate what you're saying about a bunch of artists all together, because obviously being in the art, this is an arts organization that I, you know, invented out of thin air, and I belong to some other arts organizations. And there's nothing crazier than getting in a room full of artists of all kinds and trying to hammer out something, anything, you know. It's just, so I am just so impressed that the festival is still going on and that it has grown to be something that welcomes artists from all over the country.
Yeah. Back 2006 and 7 and 8 in that area, we were able to enlist a slot, well, an image, online image service that would called Zapplication. Actually, we were with another one, Juried Art Services, which has a big reach, and we went, we stopped being as regional about that time. So, and that meant that we were able to bring a more diverse body of work to the Bloomington patronage. And it turns out that the show was popular enough that visitors came from out of town.
Wow.
Just for the show as well. I think there was a survey that we did that said 20% came from out of town into Bloomington. So
that's amazing.
Just for the festival, not for football,
right,
or any other, just for the festival.
Yeah. Because so, isn't Labor Day weekend the weekend that the students move back into the university typically?
It's a couple weeks earlier.
It's a couple weeks earlier. Okay.
And, but as I like to say, everybody, nobody's failing yet. Meet everybody. There's a real high energy component to that weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah. So, Rebecca, when did you get involved, and what do you feel about the history and know about the history of it and everything?
Well, when I first moved to Bloomington, I came in hot and heavy to get into the arts community.
Yep.
I came from Baltimore, Maryland, with an arts organization, or clay a ceramics specific arts organization. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to get into the community. There was no clay ceramics, or there's no ceramics organization in Bloomington. And that was like a brick and mortar. There was a guild. There is a guild still. And I'm a part of that local clay potters guild too. And that's how I got involved with 4th Street, because several of the members in local clay were
Sure.
And Chris Bush is the one who roped me in. I was like, oh, come on, you'd be great. About, I can't remember if it's 5, 6, might even be as long ago as 7 years ago. But my first experience with 4th Street was one of the first years I moved here about 15 years ago. I came to the show, walked it, and I met Jim Kemp, who was a potter here in Bloomington. And I was like,
yeah,
work. And I got really excited, and that's the only person I remember seeing at the show.
Yeah.
I remember being crowded, lots of people, and every year it's always crowded and hot. And when I became a part of it, I just jumped in. Had to do a whole lot of the stuff. Jim's,
is that one of his? Yeah,
Jim's pieces.
The metal one. Yeah. Those are great.
Yeah, he's very much missed in the clay community here.
He's passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay. Well, Chris, now it's your turn.
Well, I guess I'm good at roping people in.
There you go. A born organizer, right? An arts organizer, right there.
Right. Some time ago, and the website you were complimenting, Rebecca built it.
Hiding that light under a bushel.
Yeah, she's really great with everything technical that we need. So she is just a serious asset for the
Poetry. That's a huge part of growing either an organization or an event and keeping it alive, especially given, you know, the situation that we've been in lately, past year or so, for with COVID-19, having an online presence that is interesting to people to see and go visit is very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, last year, Rebecca, on her own, created our virtual art fair.
Wow.
Ansel. So it was fantastic. She built it from scratch before, like, Eventme, I think it is. It's doing online platforms now. It was before we really understood what was going on with that. And she's like, I can just do it from scratch. And she did a fantastic
job. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, but how long have you been involved?
I probably got involved in the late 90s or around 2000. Wow. At least 20, yeah, a long time ago. I got involved because one of the founders of the committee, Barb Beeler, a local potter who's also passed now, encouraged me to get involved. Mm-hmm. So I got on the committee, and here we are all these years later. I'm still on.
One of the things that I'm getting from this conversation just with the three of you is how supportive the community of artists you're talking about that are involved in this festival, whether it's, you know, bringing someone in, meeting them at the festival, and then slowly, maybe over the years, getting involved. There's that support for fellow artists within the festival community that I think is sorely lacking in some organizations that become a little too competitive, or they're kind of like, if you sell a painting, that took away from my potential sale. And I've never really understood that, because it's like one painter's audience or purchase, you know, buyer might not be the buyer for another style of painting. So it doesn't make sense to me, but I have been shocked in my life, in my adult life, at how many artists kind of have that attitude of all the buyers have to be mine. And it sounds like, you know, of course in Bloomington, where life is great, right, and artsy, that there's a community of artists that are nurturing and supportive of each other, and for since 1977 at least, right? You know,
right. That really is true. I agree. We all go around to art fairs and sell our work, and so encounter a lot of different people across the country, artists and patrons and things. But I do hear that over and over again about how there's this competition within medias and same towns and things like that. But it just generally is not the case in Bloomington. Like, the founding people that are still around and participating in 4th Street, maybe not on the committee, they care that the show is happening still. They want it to continue. And the community wants it to continue. Yeah. So I just feel like there's a real camaraderie between.
It sounds like it's just like a huge festival that feels very intimate. You know, that's what I always felt when I would go to it. And back in the
80s. Write that down, Rebecca.
Back in the 80s, it was probably, you know, fairly smaller and everything. But I always felt like, for me, it was a big festival, because I hadn't been to a lot of art festivals. You know, when I lived in Bloomington, that was really my first experience with art or music festivals. Bloomington having quite a few of those kind of things too, and so I thought it was huge and big and wonderful. And I can imagine now. I haven't been in years, and certainly haven't been out of my house much since COVID-19. But you know, I imagine it as I'm thinking 120 artisans plus, you know, that the local artists. I'm like, that's a big festival, you know. And but it sounds like a very intimate weekend as well.
Stay tuned for the rest of our interview about the 4th Street Festival in Bloomington, Indiana, with featured artists Don Adams, Rebecca Lowry, and Chris Bush.